You know, there are some podcasts that just open like this.
Just with no big fanfare, no, big official open?
Right. Like
nobody says, hey, this is what is happening?
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, no. We could try that this week.
We don't have to do that.
I don't care. It's a day. It's 2 days after St. Patrick's Day. I'm sure people who are listening to this are still hungover. They don't want. They're just thinking, please, let's not make this convoluted and complicated. Let's just get down to business. Make sure we get to some funny anecdotes. Mm-hmm. Perhaps we get some updates on things. But right now, all they're craving is a greasy cheeseburger or whatever their hangover food of choice is. I have some interesting facts about that we can get to if you want.
The Saturday before St. Patrick's Day, my fiance went to do yoga, because that's what she does.
Really?
And
so on the 10th? Are we going all the way back?
Yes, the 10th. There was a line around the block. No, the 11th. There was a line around the block to get into Durkin's.
Darkins.
Durkin's. Like Durkin's.
Durkin's.
D-U-R.
I thought you said Darkin's.
No.
I didn't know what kind of weird magic. Yeah, it sounds like something where Harry Potter would go.
Darken Raw.
Yes. Ooh, is that where I get my butterbeer at Darkin's?
The King of the Spire.
So what is Darkin's?
Durkin's.
What is Durkin's?
It's ranked in the Thrillist as, I believe, the number one or number two douchiest bar in Chicago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's an actual list.
And where is it? Where is Durkin's?
It's right on Diversey and Halsted.
Diversey and Halsted.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I got you.
Yeah, so across the street from the big Walgreens, and there's Dunkin' Donuts.
Sure.
But yeah, man, a few years ago, St. Patrick's Day, I walked by at 10 in the morning, and there were already people outside puking. So it's just your Lakeview Lincoln Park kind of. And I'll tell you, we took a couple Ubers that day to scout out some wedding reception locations.
Yes,
venues.
We want to. Oh, we're going to get a little engagement world update.
A little engagement update.
Yeah, this could be
and
exciting.
People and cars all had a death wish.
It was insane that day because that was the 11th. So that was also the big St. Patrick's Day festival at the Irish American Heritage Center. We had an early Tony and Tina's performance. So I got into, I guess that's still Wrigleyville, right?
Yeah.
Like Seminary in Belmont.
Yeah.
I know they call it something else, but it's a few blocks away from Wrigley.
I consider Wrigleyville to start around Newport.
Okay.
Which is a bit north of Belmont.
All right.
So
where would you put me? We're in the Belmont Theater District. I don't know if that people love that ostentatious little moniker for a couple of blocks.
You were definitely in the Belmont Theater District. You were definitely in Lakeview.
Lakeview.
You were close to the border.
Let me just say I was in Lakeview. Who cares? Everybody knows. And I love this. Oh, we're East Lakeview, West Lakeview, Center Lakeview, Chicago Central, Chicago, all these neighborhoods. Nobody's got a name. You know who makes up the neighborhood names? Realtors who want to charge you more for rent.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly who makes it up. But the point of the story is I got to the theater around 2:45, and there were already, and I shouldn't say already because I know they've been drinking for a long time based on their composure, people falling down. Big groups of idiots in brightly adorned green garments, and just you could tell they had been vomiting and urinating outside. They all had that kind of glassy look. There were groups of youths, I'm guessing millennials, sitting on their stoops with half-open cases of Bud Light or other beer that isn't really
beer,
you know. And I'll tell you what, if this weekend you drank green beer or last weekend you drank green beer, you have nothing but my contempt.
Wow.
Real beer is dark brown. It is not green.
What's wrong with coloring it green?
Because that's, come on. It's not, just coloring everything green doesn't make it Irish. Putting an O in front of everything doesn't make it Irish. It's stupid.
It makes
You're
it
You're already
Irish.
Drinking, it doesn't make it Irish. It makes it green water that's supposedly like yellowy water. When you color light beer green, all you're doing is adding more chemicals to a really weak product. Current sponsors, not included.
Yeah, right.
But come on.
It's just the dumbest thing.
I had to deal with so many people over the last 2 weeks who were anti-St. Patrick's Day and were going, oh, enjoy your holiday. And I'm like, okay, relax. I'm not out there wearing, you know, shamrock spectacles and vomiting in a garbage can. And now, granted, I may have done both of those things in my youth.
Of course.
When I would use my leprechaun suit as an aphrodisiac back in my single days.
Wow.
I had a full-on leprechaun suit that my mom made for me when I was in college for Halloween. And I would break up curly shoes, the whole thing. Chicks dig a 6'4" leprechaun.
I guess.
Even when said leprechaun was very heavy.
Yeah, 6'4", 300-pound leprechaun.
Yeah, oh, man.
I don't know when the age was where I went from, ooh, St. Patrick's Day is coming. We better have a party and make big plans.
Yeah.
To, oh, St. Patrick's Day is coming. I'm not leaving my house.
See, and we ended up going to the St. Pat's Festival at the Irish American Center on the 11th because my wife had volunteered, so she was selling beer tickets. And I got done and made it up there. I went kilt, you know, I brought it out because after we had the Dirty Wellies in here on the terrestrial show, there were still people talking about me complaining about losing the kilt contest from last summer when I got up there. People still, they said, actually one of the organizers told me, yeah, you shouldn't have, you know, you were robbed.
Really?
Basically told me I was robbed.
That old guy,
I know, the old guy, but they're saying the old guy should have been competing in his own, like, his own thing.
Yeah.
You know, they should have broken it up like they did, like they said they were going to. Anyway, I don't want to dwell on that. But the point is, I got up there, so I'm in a kilt and this Sons of Ireland black T-shirt. I was looking pretty pretty rakish. I looked all right.
Pretty rad.
I had my my new skeindoo, my dagger in my sock, which thankfully security did not notice, because when I was talking to the head of the Irish American Hall of Fame and pointed out, he's like, oh, my God. But then another officer of the Hall of Fame was like, ooh, let me see it. He took the dagger out. And he's like, But then he was like, oh, it's not real dull or real sharp. He's like trying to run. I'm thinking a dagger is for stabbing, not for cutting.
Right.
You know, you don't pull a dagger out and then cut. You pull a dagger out.
I've been to a lot of Scottish Highland games around the Midwest. I mean, a lot growing up because my dad piped, my sister danced, and there were people with skindoos left and right.
Yeah.
It's never
a thing.
Of course, that was the 90s.
Right.
And now we're in, you know, now we're in 2017, a post 9/11 world, Trump's America.
It is Trump's America, which is why I carry a dagger everywhere I go, because I'm in fear of everyone now.
Yeah.
There's terrorists pouring across the border. There may have been bad hombres up there. There could have been bad dudes on my walk from the theater to the car. I hear they're everywhere. Bad dudes and hombres. So I got to be very careful. There's radical Islamic terrorists coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, listen. You're lucky I'm only carrying one little dagger.
Yeah.
I should be strapped. We should all be heavily armed at all times in this new America.
It's funny you mentioned the Irish and the dagger, because one of the venues we checked out was the South Shore Cultural Center.
Oh, okay.
Have you been there?
I have not.
It's around 7,000 South, and the Obamas had their wedding reception there.
Oh.
Back in the day. Yeah, so it's pretty nice. It could use a little more maintenance than it has, but it was nice. But there was the security, or a volunteer rather, was walking us around and telling us about the history and everything. And it was an African-American gentleman. And he said at one point near the end of the tour, he said, yeah, and it was built by the Irish, and they set it all up. So back in the day, for years and years, they wouldn't allow any blacks or Jews in the building. So really cool the Obamas were able to, get one of those, like, it shows the progression of history and how much better things have gotten, which was cool. But it almost made me feel awkward for a second, because when he said that, you know, I've got some Irish heritage, and I was like, oh, it wasn't my fault. You know,
we're feeling Irish guilt.
Yeah, exactly. This is like knee jerk. But that was cool, though, to know, because there's probably a lot of places in Chicago that used to
discriminate against all sorts of people
pretty badly, and it's so weird to think that now we're such a bastion of liberalism and acceptance
on the surface Chicago is. I think you can still find a lot of segregated areas and segregated not legally, not morally
right,
but I think it's still happening.
Oh, there's always work to be done. No, yes. I'm not one of those people that says, oh, racism hasn't existed for 50 years. Like, no.
Please.
Clearly.
Please.
There's still a lot of issues. But you know, seeing here and there, it's encouraging.
Yeah.
And
So back to the drunkenness that we both experienced not only this weekend, but last weekend, the week before St. Patrick's Day. But I was pleasantly surprised when I got to the center. There were people who had obviously been drinking, but the fest had been going on for 8 hours by the time I got there. So I think the wave of early drunks had gone home.
Yeah.
And by the time I got there, you know, there was still a big crowd, and I had a few pints of Guinness and some corned beef and a styrofoam bowl of what they called shepherd's pie. Wasn't quite sure about that.
Mm.
Anytime you're eating out of a little styrofoam bowl with a plastic spoon, you feel like you're in the joint. You know, it just didn't feel right. But so we had a good time. And now, you know, then we went on to Gaelic Park to celebrate my mom's 80th birthday. So,
oh, very nice.
On actual St. Patrick's Day. So that was fun.
Cool.
Fun.
Yeah, I would have gone out, but we're not drinking this month.
How can you pass up? See, you're a good man. And you're not drinking because you want to get in shape for not only the wedding, but you have a reunion, right?
A college reunion at the end of April.
And you need to look good because you want to rub their noses in it? You're already parading in with a beautiful fiance.
She's going to be in Peru.
Oh.
Presenting at a conference.
Really?
She's very smart.
I know that. Her judgment in people sometimes, obviously,
questionable,
but her
best.
Brain is never under question.
Sure. So,
you're going alone.
I'm flying solo to my college reunion, so I have to look as impressive as possible. I mean, I already, you know, you can't. I'm tall.
Here we go. Yes, you're tall.
Gain 5 pounds, lose 5 pounds. It doesn't make a huge difference.
Right. So what are you trying to lose?
But I just want to. I hit a point last month where, and I think I said this on another podcast, I just felt crappy.
Okay.
I don't like my body right now. I gotta feel better than this.
All right.
So I've been on the DDP yoga regimen pretty solidly. I'm on the Whole30 diet, so I'm not eating any sugar or carbs, basically, or beer.
How did it go did you have withdrawals the first couple days?
I'm fine. I honestly have really good self-discipline with that stuff.
Yeah.
Once I commit to it, that's it.
Yeah.
And I won't cheat. I don't take a sip of something. I won't put a little packet of sugar in a coffee. I mean, I am hardcore, only black coffee, cutting this and that. Like, I don't do anything outside of it.
All right.
Well, it looks like we're going to have to do something we haven't done in about 3 months.
Yeah, have a beer, Cody. That's what we're going to have to do with that. We didn't turn off the news.
Great interruption.
That was perfect. It was perfect. Look, that's what you'll say when you first walk into a bar after your reunion. Looks like we're going to have to do something we haven't done in 3 months.
Yeah.
And then just start hammering.
I'm going to have to be careful because my tolerance.
Oh, yeah, is going to drop. The other night, I got home from the play, and I had been very good about my points. I had a lot of extra points for the day. So I thought, Debbie was still up doing some stuff, so I had a beer. And it was still a Christmas ale, so a pretty high alcohol content beer, like a 7.5% alcohol content. And I had two beers, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm feeling a little woozy. And I woke up the next day a little bit hungover from two beers.
You?
I'm like, what? How can this possibly be?
You're a drinker, too.
No, not all the time.
You are always pounding full bottles of whiskey.
I'm drunk right now. Let's not kid each other.
I have never seen you not drunk.
No. Rarely has anyone seen me not drunk. I try to be drunk all the time because that's the only thing, quite frankly, that is keeping me from obeying the voices in my head.
Uh-huh.
Because when I can't hear them or they're slurring, I don't understand their orders to just wreak havoc on everything and everyone that I see.
Right.
So it's not that I have a problem with alcohol. I have a problem not getting officially licensed medication. So I am forced to self-medicate, as the kids like to say. And the kids being, you know, guys who dropped out of medical school.
Did you know that in Alaska, you don't need a gun permit to get a gun?
You can just have a gun?
You can literally just walk into a place and buy a gun.
All right.
Is what I've been told.
What, do you want to get a job in Alaska?
No,
that's all I'd need. No regulation. None. Just get angry, walk into a store. Yeah, I'll take that one and that one and that one and 58 boxes of ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
And then just wander out into the snow. And I'd do it during the season where the sun never sets. So my view through the scope is never interrupted by shadows.
So you need a government-issued ID. So I have some family that was joking about going up there and getting a library card and then buying a gun with a library card. And
that sounds like something out of a Michael Moore film.
Right?
Yeah.
And we joked and said, I mean, so at least it would show that you can read, which, to be fair, is still more than a lot of people down in the continental United States.
That could be true. I like it. I like that theory.
I laughed.
Your family have all those kind of conversations often? I like it. No, I think it's a good point.
Maybe.
You want to get a library card and then an Uzi. Now gun people are like, you can't buy an OJ. Oh, man, I gave you, so stupid. You don't understand weapons at all. No, I do. I do. I do. I just don't understand you nitpicking every joke that we make.
It's pronounced Tommy Gun.
Is it? You ever fired a Tommy Gun?
No, you have.
I have. And it is badass. I could say badass on the podcast, can I?
I hope well, you just did.
I already did. You can fix it in editing.
You know I don't do anything in post.
I know that. That's why
we didn't even introduce the podcast.
That's because you said it's the new way to do things. We want to be. Listen, we're not afraid of change. we welcome the challenge, Cody. Don't you know anything?
Here's the thing: if you're in your car, you turn on the radio. There's no way to know who you're listening to.
Exactly.
So you have to say, "I'm Brian Noonan, and this is the show."
Right.
On a podcast,
they know who
you're
listening to.
You have to even access it. You must look at the text.
Right.
And I name every podcast: Brian Noonan and Cody Goff talk whatever.
Right.
So if we spend a minute at the start saying, "I'm Brian Noonan, I'm Cody Goff," and all that. They already know. So I think in some...
It makes sense. We should just start. Listen, I'm not... Again, must I chant our new mantra? The Brian Noonan Show is not afraid of change. We welcome the challenge. And we welcome folding money. I'm not afraid of change. I would rather have actual dollar bills, though.
Folding money?
Folding money. Paper money, you know.
You want to get paid
for
this?
Fives, tens, whatever.
You want to get paid
hundreds?
For this?
No, I'm just saying if you brought me change, I wouldn't be afraid of it. Like, nickels! That doesn't scare me.
Oh, I see.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
Take your time. You're very sleepy.
Listen,
you haven't had sugar or alcohol in about 17 days, 19 days, so you're a little bit off.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So relax. Relax just a little bit. All right. I have another theater review. I'm taking over a new post. I'm rivaling Dean Richards for theater reviews. I know Dean does theater talk on Sunday mornings. He's done it very, very well for many, many years. Well-respected. He has Chris Jones in here from the Tribune, who's also a wonderful theater critic. The problem with their criticism is they know stuff about the theater.
Mm.
So they're a little more technical about it. They can judge acting and sets and music and all of that kind of stuff because they've studied it for a while. Me, I haven't studied it at all.
You're an actor.
I just like to go, oh, well, not according to some people. I don't respect the craft.
Well, you don't respect the craft.
I don't. You know what I don't respect? Preciousness. I don't respect people being precious about little things. But I do respect the craft. I watched Fences. Have you seen Fences? It was up for an Academy Award.
Is it a movie?
It is a movie. It's
no.
A film. Cinematic release starring Denzel Washington. He directed it as well.
I don't do those.
It was a master class in acting. It was wonderful. Wonderful. Viola Davis was in it. A bunch of other really talented folks. It was unbelievable. And I just sat there going, man, on my best day, if I could be a quarter of that good acting, I'd be a genius.
But you're a comedic actor.
I am a comedic actor, but I have a dark side, Cody. You know I can tap into the emotions. I could do heavy drama. I think one day I will make a great Willie Loman. If someone gives me the chance to play Willie Loman in Death of a Salesman, which is my favorite play by far, which my wife doesn't understand. She thinks it's the most depressing thing ever put to page or stage or film. And it is pretty depressing. So it fits right up. That's my wheelhouse.
Wow.
Pretty depressing. So I think I can do drama.
That's your dream role. Interesting.
It is. Yeah. I think it is my dream role.
Huh. I don't have a dream. My dream role is Dr. Horrible.
Well, you've accomplished it. You've peaked.
I've made it.
You've done.
I've nowhere to go.
Right. You've been Dr. Horrible at GlamCon or whatever it is. Gen Con. What would you have done if you had gone to GlamCon, which I'm guessing is a convention for beauticians? And why did I say beauticians instead of just beauticians?
Is that the weekend after Mr. Leatherman?
I don't know. There's a big tattoo fest coming. I almost asked you to book somebody from the big tattoo festival convention that's coming up. And I thought, well, tattoo's kind of visual. I don't know how well that would go over on radio.
Craig and I had a sword swallower on our show.
Yeah, but that's, you know, you can picture that.
Can you?
Then I thought, well, what if we got tattoos on the show?
What if?
What if we got tattoos on the show? A big sleeve.
You wouldn't have a producer anymore. That's what
would
happen.
Yeah, you wouldn't have a host either. Have you ever had a desire to get a tattoo?
Never once.
Really? No. I will say I've had that desire, and I'm glad in retrospect. Like, the last time I was in Carbondale was 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and there were a number of tattoo parlors. There were no tattoo parlors when I went to Southern Illinois, which is good. because there may have been a night or two where I had had a few styrofoam quarts of beer at TJ McFly's and decided, well, you know what would look good? A giant Tasmanian devil on the back of my thigh, or, you know, a big, I don't know, some stupid tattoo back, you know. And this was back before back then tattoos were not as artistic as they are now. Mm-hmm. Back then tattoos were a tad more rudimentary, you know, a couple jumps above prison tats.
Yeah.
So I fear I might have had one.
My fiance has one.
Yeah?
It's small, and I don't judge her for it, and I think it looks fine, and it's great. I just have no desire to ever do that.
It's one of those things, because my daughter was my daughter's best friend got one, a small one on the top of her foot, which I've seen some ladies do. I've never seen a guy with a foot tattoo, but I've seen the ladies get the little, you know, whether it's, I don't know, a swan or a dolphin or, you know,
yeah,
middle finger. I don't know what they put on their foot. And my daughter was like, oh, that's so cool. I was like, eh. And I can't, you know, she's 20. I'm not going to, you are not allowed to get a tattoo.
Right.
Because I'll be honest, I see people with tattoos and I think they're really cool. But then I also think, are they going to be cool? And this is the old argument. Are they going to be cool later? You know, I've seen people who have a lot of tattoos, and when you're 20 or 30, they might look really cool. When you're 60, 70, I don't know.
And they might come into vogue with a group you don't want to affiliate with.
Right, exactly.
You know, what if the KKK decides they like to have a five-pointed star randomly somewhere on your arm, and then you got one, and it's, oh, whoops.
And as like you said before, that we're so open and accepting and all that. If I'm working at, if I'm the president of, well, pick any bank or any insurance company or any corporation, really, outside of like a tech startup, and somebody comes in and they have a skull tattoo on their neck, you know, I'm going to judge them a little bit.
You could do without that, maybe.
Right. And there's people, I mean, I know there's people working here who I would have never guessed had tattoos. They have a bunch, but they're, you can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, it's cool.
There are some that I judge people for having.
Yeah.
Some of the plain black outlined ones,
yeah.
And I look at it and I go, 1,000 people have that.
Right.
It doesn't mean anything.
Why do you have barbed wire around your bicep?
Right.
Your arm is not that big. And if your arm was big, you wouldn't need a tattoo to draw attention to it.
Exactly.
Because your arms are giant.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not a fan, but hey, it's for people, so whatever.
Unless you're The Rock, but that whole Polynesian sleeve is a cultural thing.
He got that done by some Samoan shaman.
Yeah, and there's deep-seated history in that. And you go, okay. Plus, The Rock can do whatever he wants.
Yeah,
because he's The Rock. Yeah. You know, can we even call him The Rock anymore? Do we have to call him Dwayne Johnson?
We can call him either.
I still smell what he's cooking, though.
Man, he's
to
good.
Me, he will always be the people's champion.
He's, yeah.
The guy's unbelievable.
I have a new coworker at my day job, and she said she didn't care for The Rock, and I went on a thing.
Doesn't care for how do you not care for The Rock?
I know. I'm like, he's a genius.
Who doesn't care? But you could say, I'm not a fan of pro wrestling. Okay, that's fine. But come on. This is a guy who's made a clear crossover. He's now a movie star. He's not a wrestler anymore.
He's the biggest action star that there is right now.
And he seems like, honestly, I hope I never meet The Rock, because if I met him and he's not as cool as I think he would be, because I truly believe that he seems very genuine in all his interviews, all the press he does for all his movies, the stories you read about him. He seems like a genuinely cool guy, and I would be afraid that I'd meet him and he'd be just a tool, and I'd go, oh, another dream dashed.
Yeah.
That always happens.
That's the tricky thing.
Well, no, the tricky part is doing the Big Fig Newton. Here's the tricky part. Mm-mm. I know you don't remember that commercial.
I remember the fig, the don't eat it in bed thing.
No, there was a big thing. The Fig Newton was an actual dancing fig. And he'd come out and do the Big Fig and Newton. And he'd go, here's the tricky part. And he was doing this dance, and then he'd do this weird pose. Here's the tricky part. The Big Fig and Newton.
Good.
That was...
Sorry, I missed that. Wow.
Another visual. If you thought tattoos on the radio didn't translate, try describing the Big Fig Newton on without the visuals to help.
You just did.
I did.
So I didn't mean to sidetrack us from the theater review.
Theater review. I went to see Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Oh, man.
Have you ever seen Hedwig and the Angry Inch?
I saw the film and hated it, but I...
I didn't know it was a film. I mean, I guess I knew. I never saw the film.
And remind me, it's about a transsexual, right?
Yes, and I should. I know I'm going to get. I know I'm going to get the terminology wrong, and someone will think that I'm being bigoted, and I'm not. I think technically he's a transvestite.
Okay.
Because he's a man, and the angry inch is what's left, so he still has an inch. So he hasn't. So he would just be a transvestite, right?
I don't know the difference between transsexual, transgender, and transvestite.
I think transvestite is just someone who dresses as the opposite sex.
Okay.
Anyway, it's about this guy in Berlin. And as a boy, he realizes he's gay. And it's very strange. I will say this. I enjoyed it immensely. I felt very melancholy at the end of the performance. Which I told Debbie, if we ever did get a collie, I would name it Melon.
Wow.
Yeah. I was just stupid.
Well played.
I know.
Did you actually tell her that, or was that a joke?
No, I did actually tell her that.
How'd she like
actually
that?
Actually told her that. She, much as with much of what I've said over the past 28 to 30 years that I've known her, it was met with indifference. Yeah. Casual indifference. More, which is better than open hostility. Which another portion of many of the things I've said over the last 30 years have been met with good reason. Some slight amusement. We did. I think it might have gone. It might have edged a little bit towards slight amusement, or just resignation of stupidity. Just this is what comes out of his mouth normally, and so anyway, it's about this guy. It starts as a concert. His husband, who is a woman dressed as a man, Hedwig's husband, introduces a show. So you're at a concert. You're at a concert of Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which is the name of his band. And they start this rock show. And it all happens on the set of Hurt Locker the Musical, which opened the day before and closed at the end of the first act. So the theater is littered with handbills from the Hurt Locker the Musical. The stage is like a half-blown-up car. And they're, you know... The premise is that he got the promoter to allow them to use the theater for one thing, and it's a long story. And to get out of Berlin, because a soldier falls in love with him, and so in order to get out of Berlin to get married to the soldier back in the United States, his mother takes him to a doctor who chops off most of his. Unit, his man tool, and leaves just an angry inch, just a little inch. But that way he can get through customs and come to America. And then, of course, during the show, he's telling this, it's like a cabaret style show, and he's regaling us with this story, and then there'd be their songs, and it's a whole big thing, and it's kind of sad, because then, they said it here, he's in the Oriental Theater, and he's talking about that, and he's saying, but across the street at Soldier Field, so you had to suspend geographic reality for a little bit. His one true love is performing, because his true love is now a big rock star. But he helped him write his first album. It was a boy that he had babysat for and then grew up, and they had a thing, and it was a whole... So it was sad, this guy's life. Hedwig's life was very sad. So I enjoyed it, but it really took me out of my comfort zone, because it was, it pushed a lot of boundaries. So much so that a number of people left.
Oh, wow.
A lot of older people who didn't know what this show... I knew what the show was going in. A lot of people obviously did not know what the show was about.
I remember when I saw the movie, I think part of the reason I didn't love it is because I was young. I didn't have I was going to school in Des Moines.
Right.
I didn't have a lot of exposure to... This was before a lot of... very progressive, yeah. LGBT visibility and things. So this was all kind of a new world to me.
Right. You didn't hear about it. It wasn't in the news all the time. It wasn't as mainstream. Everything wasn't, people talk about that kind of thing now. It's everybody knows about it.
Right. I didn't know how to quite process it. So I don't remember how big of, I'm sure it was part of the focus. How big of a focus was the sexuality of the characters and the gender?
Oh, very big, because Hedwig made a number of comments and jokes about, performing oral skills on other people and, what he did with the soldier and, and then his husband, who had been the number one female impersonator in what I forget what country he was from. But he wanted Hedwig to take him away from that country and help him flee. And Hedwig made him promise that he would never put on a wig again, so that he would not be out. He would not outshine Hedwig as the, as a female impersonator kind of thing. And so he just was horrible to him throughout the whole production. Very demeaning and dismissive. And this, I can't remember the character's name, but the husband was putting up with it, and every once in a while would, you know, snap and something would happen. There was a lot of really sad undertones to it. But the music was very uplifting, and it was funny at a lot of times. It's one of those shows. I'm glad I saw it. I don't think I would have sought it out had it not been presented to me, an opportunity to go, but I'm really glad I went. And I think, I think it's important for people who are going to the theater to, you know, even if you have a subscription, to kind of go. Cause I think once you're there, it's a little rude to just get up and leave. I understand it's your prerogative. If you're not enjoying yourself, you should be able to leave. But it's like, oh, maybe if you give it a chance. But yeah, I think a lot of people get to a certain age or are born a certain way and decide, this is how I think, and I'm not going to change it, whether it's for theater or news or someone that I meet. There's nothing that's going to expand my mind at all. So it's only here. I think it's gone by now. It's done. It's closed.
Oh.
So you can't go see it. But it may come back. And now, in another week, I'm going to another production, going to Circus 1903, some big, elaborate historical circus kind of show.
Oh.
Yes. So I'll give a nice review of that. Notice my review of Hedwig, diametrically opposed to my review of Men Are From Mars.
Oh, man.
That was horrifying.
That was a hilarious podcast, but not the best review. I mean, your review was well done, but it wasn't a positive.
No, I would say Hedwig is worth seeing. It was, again, and I'm not ashamed to admit this. At times I was a little uncomfortable, but not so much, not uncomfortable. We're like, oh man, but you know, where I was judging or looking down on the characters, it's just I realized, wow, this is a world that is different from my own. But even that being said, which I think is a good lesson for people, even with the play being set in a world that I have really no connection to, the characters in the story allowed me to connect with these characters and feel their emotion and put myself in their shoes for a little bit and escape my life and see into a different world, which I think is what entertainment is supposed to do, what art is supposed to do. So even going in, if you thought, I would never want to see a production about this subject matter, you'd be surprised. And I was pleasantly surprised.
There's actually a show at Steppenwolf coming up that we're going to go see that I'm excited about that will probably do that same thing.
What is that?
It's called Straight White Men.
I saw an advertisement for that. Mm-hmm. I think I saw it on Facebook. What's the story?
So I don't like today's political focus on identity politics.
Okay.
I think it serves to divide more than it serves to bring about any positive change.
Right.
I think the more that we think and categorize and talk about people in terms of men and women or mm-hmm. blacks and whites or this and that or
gay or straight,
Muslims or non-Muslim, the more we even call it out, I think the worse it makes it.
Okay.
So I think we just live in a stupid political environment where everyone is, even liberals that talk about bringing people together, they're just further driving apart.
Right.
I'm kind of liberal too. So,
I understand. You know.
But I'm skeptical and I try to. Anyway, so
wait, are you trying to become self-aware?
So with that in mind, I saw the title Straight White Men and I go, oh God, this is some.
Here we go.
It's
some indictment of the white male, straight male.
Yeah.
Gender.
Yeah. Or, you know, some grossly exaggerated characterization of Trump supporters or something, you know, something just blatantly offensive to some people, but hiding under the guise of, oh, well, it's all about, you know, the oppressors and the privileged and blah, blah, blah. I watched an interview with the director And it looks to be something that's not that. It looks to actually kind of address why some privileged straight white men are feeling the way that they are in today's political environment.
Okay.
And supposedly seeks to actually understand and show some of this and show some of what I talked about. Show some of, hey, actually some of the conversations going on are actually dividing people more.
Yes.
And show some of the, and I don't know, this is speculation.
Right.
But it seems to me that the play is going to hopefully do a good job of objectively taking a step back and looking at what is this environment we've created?
Oh, wow.
How are people getting involved? This is my hope. It could be terrible. I have no idea.
There could be juggling and puppets.
Right. But yeah, first glance, I said, hell no, there's no way. Now, okay. Again, I think I'm going to go in with an open mind, and it could make me uncomfortable and I could hate it.
Right.
But theater.
That's, you got to go.
It's a good part of theater.
It is. That is great. Everything is not supposed to be pablum. Some things are supposed to make you think. Some things are just supposed to be straight up fun and entertainment. Some things can be a combination of the two. Some things are meant to be more in your face. And that's, whatever happens, you leave the theater. It's not, if it sparks some thought or maybe changes the way you look at something, great. If it doesn't, and you go, well, that was a waste of 2 hours. All right, well, it's over, you know, and you can move on. So when does this open?
It's open.
Oh, it's running now. When are you going to see it?
I'm not sure. Next few weeks.
I haven't seen a show at Steppenwolf. I'm just getting now, you know, being in the theater. having been afforded the opportunity now to go see more shows, I do love going to the theater. I do. I love the whole spectacle of it. I love getting dressed up. I love pretending I'm a bigwig, that I'm a patron of the arts, and then I go and I'm just surrounded by the same unwashed I'd get at my local Cineplex. But, you know, they have a little more money because they paid or got free tickets like I did. And thank you to Broadway in Chicago. I love the opportunity to get to go see these shows. It's wonderful, and I don't take it for granted, and I wouldn't be able to go see all the shows that I get to go see without them. So thank you, Broadway in Chicago. But what was I saying? So I love it. I love going, and now I'm actually starting to pursue more theater work. I'm looking at, you know, I'm submitting now for things. I'm trying to get on the audition circuit for more stage work because I love it. I've always loved it. I did it in high school. I did it in college. I've done it. I've been on stage basically my whole life. I really do enjoy it. But I love going to see real professional shows. Are just phenomenal. It's like watching a good movie. Or a good TV show, or listening to this radio show. People go, wow, how do they do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And you start to recognize a lot of the actors.
Yes, especially in this town. There's so much great talent here.
Yeah.
That is overlooked, I think, a lot.
My fiance and I go to a lot of shows, and yeah, we're starting to see, oh, that guy was in 2666, and that guy mm-hmm. was in this. And it's a small theater community with the, when you talk about the working professionals
right.
that are doing it regularly.
Yeah.
I saw a show, we actually did see a show that is also now closed.
Okay.
As of the time this podcast will be posted. We saw at the Goodman, Uncle Vanya.
Oh, how was it?
It is the best written show I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
Have you ever seen it?
I have not.
It's Chekhov's masterpiece.
Yes.
And they used some modern language to update the translation, but I didn't even know that until she told me after. So I just thought it was a straight translation. That's how effective they were able to do it and not make it seem forced.
Right.
They're not talking about selfies and blah, blah, blah. You know?
Right, yeah.
It originally takes place, I think, in just before 1900, and this version took place, they had a radio.
Okay.
So it was like 1930s probably when it took place. Unbelievable.
Wow.
I didn't even love all the casting and directing and acting choices, but the writing, every line makes you think.
That's great.
It was unbelievable. If you ever get the chance to see Uncle Vanya.
All right.
Unbelievable. Man. So, yeah, and the Goodman's a great
spot. The Goodman is great.
We got tickets, I think it was $25-$30 or something.
Can't beat that.
And it's first come, first serve seating.
Okay.
So we sat right in the front in the balcony.
Oh, nice.
To show up a half hour early, and it's not a huge theater. So.
No, it's not.
Yeah, Goodman's a great spot.
I love going to the Goodman.
Where did you see your show?
The Oriental.
Okay.
Which is a beautiful theater. And they do a lot of short runs. That's where we saw The Illusionists. Which was a lot of fun, and because it's a smaller, it's a very beautiful, ornate theater. A lot of leg room in the aisles, which I love.
Yes.
The other good thing about Hedwig was I was on the aisle. Oh, it was beautiful.
Oh, so
beautiful.
Good.
But it's a much smaller stage area, so they're not getting in the giant, like, Phantom or things like that. So they do a lot of these 2-week runs or 3-week runs of smaller productions. And it's great. And it's right in, you know, it's right down the street from the Cadillac Palace, right on Randolph there. And this city is from huge productions to storefront theaters to everything else.
Yeah.
So now look at us. We're infringing on everybody else has this beat. We've never delved into this beat. But now, you know, listen, we can talk about stuff.
I talked to my fiance about doing a theater podcast.
Oh, did you?
Because we go every couple weeks at the most. And she said, no, there's already people at WGN people that do that. There's theater.
A lot of theater.
Critics.
We'll talk about it when we go, you know, because it's part of what we do. We talk about things that we're doing. All right. Oh, we'll get into that. Something else that I've been doing later or another time. But we have to get back every time we need to check in on Engagement World, because you mentioned that you went to, we know from the terrestrial show that you got engaged, which is great. We talked about that here. Now you're starting to look for venues, which I remember just being a nightmare. And you're looking at so many different locales geographically that it's got to exponentially become harder.
Yeah. Where did you get married?
We got married in, the church was in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, and the reception was at the Ramada Inn, Flint.
That's right.
Even though it was right on the border of Flint, and not necessarily Flint proper, but my mother-in-law, I will not have my guests coming to Flint. I was like, you live right next door to Flint in Grand Blanc, and it's the Ramada on the interstate. It's, you know, would you, because we, it went from up there, there were, and I'm sure this is everywhere, there were a lot of like church halls or something, but then you had to rent the tables and you had to rent the chairs and you had to go buy the plates and the silverware. And it's like, what a nightmare. It's like throwing a barbecue. I don't want to do that. And there were some restaurants, but none of them were big enough to hold it. And, you know, so it came down to, I was on the road and my mom and dad went up and helped Debbie, and they found this thing at the Ramada, and they tasted the food and they looked at the menu, and Debbie was like, I love it. And okay, I was like, I don't care. Okay, fine. That's perfect. The Ramada Inn. That's great. People stay right there. We were able to set up a brunch on Sunday before everybody left. There was a pool. Yeah, beautiful. Everybody come. Have a good time. But yeah, I don't know. It was very unpleasant. And I was only peripherally involved. You are actually hands-on involved, which is ugh.
I described myself the other day as Groomzilla.
Are you a Groomzilla?
I guess.
Oh, my goodness. Are you still? Wow. Please explain.
I'm a control freak. And she'll recommend a place, and if there's anything I remotely dislike about it, I shoot it down. So I've just been the big jerk every time she goes, oh, hey, there's this place. It's really cute. It's really beautiful. I love it. I'm excited about it. And then there's me, and I go, it doesn't have a skyline view. I don't like it. Or something like that. And I shut her down a few times. And
well, here's the thing. People should be staring at her, not the skyline.
I know,
If people are so bored they're looking out the window, you're having a horrible wedding.
I am learning more and more. Do you know you can get married in Tribune Tower?
Really?
Howell and Hood, there's a 19th floor, I think, or something. There's like a sky deck. They call it...
Oh, I know the deck. I've been up on that deck.
Well, but it's not our sky deck. It's not the office's sky deck.
Right.
Because we have access to the sky deck. They have... it's called Under the Terrace or something. And I think it's on the... What is this? The southwest corner. So it's above WGN Radio.
Oh, wow.
I think... And it's right up, it might be 23rd floor or something.
Wow.
You can pay him. The only problem is the ceremony can only seat about 75 people.
Oh.
So I loved the idea.
Yeah.
Getting married up there with Wrigley Building and the whole city right there behind
sure,
you.
Sure, we could podcast. We'd do it right during the show.
Do a live.
So we get paid while we're at your wedding. That would be great.
Tribune Tower is legitimately my favorite building in Chicago.
Yeah.
It's the most beautiful. The most historic. The lobby is a monument to journalism.
Yes.
I love this building.
It's terrific.
I'm honored to have been able to work here until our lease is up. And
we get kicked to the curb.
But I love it here. And so that would be a dream, but I just don't know if it'll work.
75, because that's low with your initial estimate.
Our initial estimate's definitely over 100.
Yeah.
And
you know I bring an entourage. If I'm invited.
Of course, yeah. You'll have
a plus 100.
You've got your posse.
Yeah, sure. It's me and Turtle and Drama and E. And Vinny.
E? You're going to bring some E? I mean,
no.
Are you going to roll during the wedding?
I always roll. When I'm not drunk, I'm rolling on E. Haven't you noticed the pacifier?
I was wondering why you're so happy lately.
Every time I stop talking, I got the pacifier in my mouth.
Howlin' Hood also available for... I'm not being paid by them. I wish I were.
No, yeah.
But they've got a reception space, too. But I think even the downstairs was a little small for us if you don't use the patio, because I've got a larger part.
Sure.
So... We've looked and thought about that. We checked out a room at the Congress Hotel.
Okay.
Which I like that a lot.
Nice.
They've got some nice facilities.
Yeah.
And it's kept up really well.
Okay.
So I mentioned earlier we went to the South Shore Cultural Center. The Obamas had their reception there. I think one of the Dailies got married there.
Okay.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Well, it was nice. There's a difference between vintagey and kind of aged.
Run down. Yeah.
To me, it falls a little more on – parts of it fall a little more on the rundown side.
Okay.
You go to the reception hall, you look up on the left, and there's just a chunk missing out of the ceiling where you can see mesh. There's a bunch of pillars outside. There are a couple pillars that are just busted on one side and hollow. So it's – you know what? If someone's getting married there this year, it's probably still going to be really nice.
Yeah.
The room has floor-to-ceiling windows. It's
beautiful.
Bright. It is a pretty building. And the lobby's pristine. The carpet's great. The ceiling's great. There's a lot of it that's great. But to me, there's a little bit of upkeep just slightly falls short of what I would consider a really great wow factor kind of a thing.
Okay.
But again, I don't – anybody having one there, it's gonna be nice. Really pretty. And then we checked out – a store called the Salvage One. It's an extremely high-end resale shop of old furniture and like the Goodman Theater sign would end up there, kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They have a big concrete pillar. They have a giant wooden or stone elephant that's $10,000 or something like that. And they sell little chandeliers. They sell really.
Are you trying to make money on your wedding? Is this a consignment place? Do we bring junk from home? What do we do?
They have an interesting deal. They rent out their space, and you can get married with all of their objects kind of around. And they've got a reception area on the second floor.
Yeah.
And they kind of integrate it into your wedding, so you'll have all these kind of hipstery, vintagey, like stained glass pieces around you, but all really upscale, high end stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you took, let's say, a 1930s or 1940s mansion, you took 30 of them and took random things from all of them, you'd end up with this kind of place. It's hard to describe.
Yeah, it sounds hard to describe.
But the first floor is a storefront, but they've got a setup for an actual ceremony, and then the second floor there's the reception, and it's a big, nice space in the West Loop. So So we've checked out a few very different places.
There was a place my cousin got married right in Lincoln Park. I want to say it's, you know where the Clark Bar is?
Is it Salvatore's?
No, it's the Hardy Boys did the catering, which, and I know they're like a thing.
I know I've looked into them.
And it's, it was like a storefront kind of thing. And you went in and the ceremony was upstairs kind of in a, I want to say it felt like an ad. It sounded a little bit like what you were describing, kind of a storefront, but there wasn't merchandise and stuff in there, but it was kind of like, I don't know, industrial is not the right word, a lot of just raw wood and stuff. Like you were in a loft to get married, then you came downstairs and there was a room, like a narrow bar kind of room, but it wasn't a bar, and a outdoor kind of courtyard. And that's where the hors d'oeuvres and everything. It wasn't a sit-down dinner, I don't believe. Or maybe it was. But yeah, it was just something different. I don't know.
Interesting.
Everybody does all these different things. It's right where, you know where the Hotel Lincoln is?
Yes.
Right across from the zoo.
Oh, yeah, right across from the zoo.
So like where Clark and Lincoln and all kind of intersect there.
Yeah.
There's that weird little like pointy corner deal.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Okay. There's a few places right there.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's got to be tough. And I saw you posted on Facebook asking for recommendations.
You got a lot of recommendations. I mean, if you're listening to this and you want to tweet at me at Producer Cody or comment on the Facebook thing, I'm always open to suggestions, but we're looking everywhere. And
So what are you looking for?
I want it to be a place that shows off Chicago.
Okay.
I've lived here eight years.
Rockford's out of the picture now.
Probably.
Okay.
Because I think, because before it was a cost thing, I think we can just barely afford, if we cut some corners, a place in the city.
Like no forks?
Something like that.
All right.
No forks, no dance music, no, it might not be a ceremony.
Will there be EDM?
Oh, there's got to be some EDM.
There's a dubstep.
Got to figure that out. Yeah, no, no. I want something that showcases either some history in the city or some kind of kitschiness or has a skyline view or something.
Right.
Something where you go and you go, oh, I went to that wedding in Chicago and it was very, had a lot of personality, very unique.
Right. So you don't want some suburban hotel banquet room that looks like every other banquet room in
America.
Exactly.
If I'm going to go to the Hilton here, I'm sure it's very beautiful, but why wouldn't I just go to the Ramada in Rockford and pay a third the cost?
Exactly. There's somebody did a weird themed wedding at the Chicago Theater Works, and I know you could set it up as a banquet hall because I do it every night.
True, yeah, that's true. Speaking of Chicago Theater, though, we've looked at all the big historic areas. You can get married in Chicago Theater.
Oh, yeah.
The Lyric Opera House.
Nice.
The Art Institute.
What about Union Station?
Yes, Union Station's an option.
Yeah.
I don't want to do Union Station just because that area is dicey.
Right, but then I could just take the train. No, I'm kidding.
It would be accessible.
It would be accessible. Your wedding is accessible by many, many public transportation options.
And some of those historic venues are surprisingly comparable in price to other places.
And then, so you rent the space, then you've got to hire a caterer, correct?
Catering.
Yeah.
Catering is...
That's where they get you.
Pretty rough.
Yeah, between bar and catering, and then it becomes, oh, are we doing an open bar? Are we doing a cash bar? Are we doing a limited bar? No bar, maybe you're still not drinking, then you don't let your guests drink. That's going to be a horrible wedding.
One place sent me a quote based on super early estimates and just a ballpark of what would it kind of look like. So this is not probably what my final price will end up being even remotely, but they quoted me about a little over $15,000 for a certain number of people. And
was that the whole, that was including everything?
Catering, including everything. But the thing was, I was looking at the itemization. 4,000 of that was the food.
What was the other 11,000?
And I think 700 or something was mixers because it was a BYOB venue.
Okay.
So they provide mixers, shakers, ice, things
like
that.
Oh, so then you go to Costco or whatever, bringing cases of wine and all that stuff.
So less than 5,000 of 15,500 was for the actual food and beverages. The rest was staffing. Carting in and out all of the silverware, dishware, linens.
Oh, right.
All of the, there's probably some insurance thing like that. So it was crazy to me how much of the cost was just the staffing of it.
Well, yeah, if you're not getting married at a place, like a hotel, that's all there. They don't have to bring anything in.
Mm-hmm.
Or a restaurant where it's already there. But yeah, if you go to any kind of venue, it's all labor.
Yeah.
Man, that's a lot of labor.
Yeah. So we're figuring it out, but we're just starting our search. But there's a couple ideas for people. I was very happy with Congress and Salvage One. I don't know about Congress, but Salvage One's a very popular location.
Okay.
Most places we've looked are booked through the end of the year, of course.
Of course.
But we're thinking about maybe a Friday wedding.
Okay.
Sometimes you can save money that way.
Yeah.
Some places will have the lower
What about
rates.
A Sunday wedding? You wouldn't want to do a Sunday wedding.
I refuse to do Sunday.
Good.
I won't look
We have shows.
Yeah, we got a radio show.
Unless you check the Blackhawks schedule. If you could do it on a night. Do it on a night where there's a game, you won't have to miss a show.
That
would be nice. You know, then you can. Hey, Cody, we're off tonight. Cody's getting married, by the way.
I'm looking at October, November, December. Chances are we're off.
Yeah, the later you go in the year, there's a good chance. Yeah, there's always a chance we may be off.
Yeah, I'm
who knows after this
here.
Podcast.
Yeah.
But again, we don't fear change. We welcome the challenge.
We welcome.
We welcome the challenge. So, well, this is it's going to be exciting. And as long as you don't mind telling us about it, I know people are interested. So we'll do on the podcast, we'll do a little engagement world update and keep people posted. Because it's anybody who's been through it, like I said, I can sympathize because it is a huge thing. Now, some people, Casey, your fiance is not one of these women who, she doesn't sound like she's been planning her dream wedding since the day she was born. Molly has been watching Say Yes to the Dress and all this other stuff for decades.
Oh, no.
She's going to be sadly, sadly disappointed when she realizes that $15,000 for a dress is never going to happen. Unless she's got the money. If she's, you know, a big success, she can do whatever she wants with her money.
Hey, why not?
Yeah. 15 ain't coming out for a dress.
So were you not involved much in, how much did you plan?
I helped with a lot, but I don't know if I did.
How much did you want to plan?
You know me. How much you think I wanted to plan?
I don't know.
There were certain things, like when we were registering, there were certain things I held firm on. Because we were, see this again, this is 26 years ago, 27 years ago. And I was still thinking in a more old fashioned, traditional kind of way. So like we registered for Crystal and China and all this stuff, 'cause that's what our parents did. And we've used it and I love having it. So there were certain things I was involved, like with the Crystal, I was very involved with the Waterford picking out the pattern, and with the China, I was involved. Other stuff I let Debbie do. When it came to the place, I went and looked at some of the options originally, some of the halls that were suggested to us up in that area in the Grand Blanc, Flint, that whole the Metroplex up there. Mm-hmm. And I use the term very, very loosely. And I was like, oh, this is a big rectangular room and we have to pay somebody to come in. And then I was there pricing out, you know, champagne glasses and that's my friend. So I did a few of those where I was like, this is insane. Who's going to do this? First of all, who's going to haul all this stuff in? Who's going to decorate the room? Who's mm-hmm. going to, not me, not my family. They want to come up here and go to a wedding and drink, you know,
and leave.
They don't want to be cleaning up.
'Cause we found a couple spots that look great. My mom said the last thing you want to do is have the person at the venue come up to you after your wedding reception and say, okay, cool, you got to get all this stuff out of here in the next hour.
Yeah,
You're cleaning up after your wedding?
No. So that was, I was involved in that part. I was involved to the point where I said, let's find a restaurant or a hotel. And then up there, kind of like what you were running into in Rockford, the options were limited.
Yeah.
So, and with me being on the road, it was like a lot of it fell on Debbie, but she was up there too a lot. So it was like, all right, she went around and she found it. And, you know, then her mom got upset because my mom and dad got involved a little bit toward the end. Not trying to usurp her, just going to help Debbie, like to go with her to taste the food or to do this, stuff that I couldn't do. And so they were like, okay. Debbie said, we found the room at the Ramada. I was like, all right, that's cool. They're going to give us a deal for guest rooms and we can have a brunch down in the, because my mom and dad wanted to have a brunch for everybody the day after the wedding. So it was like, okay, I was good with it. I figured it didn't really matter. You know, that it matters, but if she was happy with the place, I don't care.
Yeah.
It was just a suburban hotel banquet room, but everybody was there, which is the important part. Everybody was able to stay right in the hotel so they could get as drunk as they wanted and just go back to their room. The next morning, everybody came down, had brunch. People Thursday, the night before, you know, we found a place for the rehearsal dinner, which is another reason my mom and dad were going up there, because they were taking care of the rehearsal dinner. So they wanted to look at some places. And while they were up there, they went with Debbie to look at some reception places.
Yeah.
So back to your original question, I was involved in a certain amount. I was not a groomzilla by any stretch. I, like most things in my life, unless it was, if it was really important to me, I made a stand. If it wasn't really important to me, I let it go.
Sure. Did you, I don't remember what I was going
to
ask.
I was more involved in the honeymoon, to be honest. No, I was involved in trying to figure out where we wanted to go and make those decisions.
Yeah. Well, that's so good. Yeah. I will say I agree. The hotel is really nice to have the rooms right there.
Yeah, it's great.
And that's why we're thinking about the Congress, because it's really nice, big hotel.
Mm-hmm.
They're always re-upping
it. It's at Michigan and what? I always get the ones down there confused, because not the Conrad, not the old Hilton.
It's right by Symphony Center, and right by everything.
Right.
It's right by it's right by the entrance. It's probably on Congress.
Is it
it's that block north of Congress, I believe.
Okay, yeah, probably.
So that's all right. Why they call it Congress Hotel.
Yeah, no, that's, listen, and that's nice for, because you'll have people coming from out of town. I'm not trying to sway you one way or another, but that does play in. It's nice.
You know, we really like the idea.
Yeah.
So, and if somebody's listening and they want to sponsor my wedding by waiving the $5,000 to $10,000 booking fee, I would love to just plug you every week for the rest of my tenure at WGN.
Wow. Is that legal, what you just did?
I don't know, and I don't care.
All right. Yeah, we'll do it on the podcast. we'll podcast away, and we'll, you know.
We'll work something out.
We'll contact work something out. Yes, contact the program.
I'll be transparent about it so I don't get arrested by the feds for payola or anything.
Listen, and if they want, you know, if they want some commercials done, we're not above, you know, maybe our talent fee could be waived.
I'm not above anything that will save me money. Because a wedding in Chicago is beyond my budget.
It's crazy.
I'm going to do what I have to do to, I will do almost anything I have to do to keep it, to keep it in the city limits or close enough to where we get to enjoy something really awesome and very unique to Chicago. So,
all right, good luck.
That's where I'm at.
Good luck. All right, listen, should we finish, wrap this one up?
We still have a show to do.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, today that we're recording it.
Right.
I'm posting this Sunday the 19th. Yeah. But we have no
we tried to play it off. We tried to play it off like we were doing this on the 19th. But
did we?
At the beginning we did, because we talked about, you know, the week before St. Patrick's Day.
You did, yeah.
You started it.
I don't remember who started. We didn't really start it.
No, not starting the podcast. Just, yeah, we're recording this early. We're playing it back on the 19th because, as you know, we're off on the 19th. But tonight, we do have a real show.
And then we're back.
Then we're back. I think once the 26th of March comes, well, 26th of March, we have a show. The following week, we don't have a show because I'm out of town.
I'm in the
DR on the DL. Mm. So I can, not the disabled list, the down low. It's going to be very, very, and not the download. That's Justin Kaufman's show.
True.
I should try to stay away from things that sound like other things.
Maybe.
Because people get confused. What you doing? I don't understand him. All right. Now, let me ask you this. Since we start the podcast, the new cool kid podcast way where we just start, do we just stop talking and end it? Is that how, or do we, are we polite and say goodbye and thank people for listening?
We can always thank people for listening.
I think that's nice.
Yeah.
I think we should. All right. So thank you for listening. Go to WGNradio.com. Listen to Cody's other podcast, Game Life Balance US. You can always catch up on all the podcasts that we do, which are web exclusive, and podcasts from the regular show at WGNradio.com. Slow down, drunkie. WGNradio.com, and follow us on social media. You know all this, really. I'm not going to harp on all that.
I have nothing else to plug.
No, you're all done?
No, yeah.
You've shilled for a reception hall. We've plugged your podcast.
I've shilled for anything wedding related.
Of course. Maybe there's
cakes.
What about DJs?
Cakes, DJs.
Liquor. Well, if you're at a hotel, you can't bring in your own liquor, can you?
Some venues we're looking at are BYOB.
Oh, that's nice.
So, yeah, anything.
Our good friends at Binny's want to underwrite part of the wedding. That's fantastic. We love Binny's Beverage Depot. If it's not at Binny's, it's not worth drinking.
Wow.
There you go. I just gave him a commercial.
You didn't get paid for that.
I did not. I didn't even get a sixer. Last night at the show, I screwed up one of the jokes, speaking of six-packs. I do this stupid joke. What's a seven-course meal for an Irishman? A six-pack of beer and a potato. So last night I go, hey, what's a seven-course dinner for an Irishman? A six-pack of potatoes and a beer. And I'm like, what? And I stop, and the audience is all looking at me laughing, and I'm looking. So once I copped to the fact that I had screwed up, then everybody's howling. I'm like, oh, see me in the back. I'll give you the real punchline. So that, I just thought of that with the Binnies. But yeah, so we'll work on it. Maybe so. You never know. We're a photographer. Those are expensive. Are you going to have a photographer and videographer and all that?
Got to have a photographer. Videographer, yeah. I would like.
Yeah.
I was told, I wasn't planning on it, but okay. some one of my coworkers said she's one of the best decisions she ever made. She said she was against it. She's so happy now.
Yeah.
So, but even if I just set up my camera on a tripod and have somebody run it, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Having a video person is good. There might be, you know, there's the deal upstairs maybe.
That's true.
The video department here.
Friends upstairs.
Yeah.
I'll see what I can do.
See what you can work out. All right. We're done. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you again very soon.
It's stop, not pause.
It's stop, not pause. Hold on.
It's the square.
There it is.